The Perilous Awakening of Johnny Hazard by E.B. Hawke. Buckle up, Buttercup. It's going to be a bumpy ride. Chapter 1. You done someone wrong. Your karma has come to settle the score with you. You're sneaking, you're crawling into the ground. Eyes open wide and blue. Insomnia by Wishbone Ash. One spider dripped down its web, and then another. Hundreds, thousands of spiders lowering. Spiders with round bodies and tapered legs. Spiders with stout builds and fuzzy thoraxes and countless rolling eyes. Johnny'd never been an arachnophobe, but the sight of his spider-studded ceiling, wriggling with a thousand legs, changed his mind. He closed his eyes and covered his mouth, his fingers digging into his cheeks as he swallowed a scream that lodged in his throat. Something was wrong. This wasn't real. This couldn't be real. The tickling began like a prickle of shifting hairs, followed by a creeping. Johnny clenched his jaw, his breath ragged, eyes still shut. He laughed dryly, feeling like a moron. He wasn't feeling what he was feeling. He wasn't feeling what he was feeling. Something palpable brushed against his cheek like a feathered thumb. His eyes flew open. Spiders covered his body, big and small, colorful and dull. At his feet was a gargantuan spider, Rottweiler big, with multifaceted eyes and four mandibles that spun his fate. Johnny screamed and screamed. Then blearily blinked, looking up at smeared fluorescent overheads and sunlight bleeding in through glass windows. Johnny was propped upright in a bed with a stack of pillows under his head and an IV feeding into his arm, held in place by a restraining cuff. No spider bites anywhere, only light skin with a fading Aruba tan. He blinked and looked around, confused. "You finally with us?" the doctor to his left asked as she stood there with a coolly inquisitive look, her interest magnified by her thick glasses. She was a haggard-looking woman with a statement scarf draped under the collar of her doctor's coat. "What?" Johnny tried to ask, but his dry tongue stuck like old gum to the floor of his mouth, and his voice tripped. "Mr. Hazard, do you remember what happened last night? Can I, have some water?" The doctor sighed and walked out of the room. Johnny sat up and stopped with a sudden jerk. Restraint strapped him to the bed, lashing him around the ankles and wrists. He pulled at them weakly, but settled back against the bed, waiting to be freed. There was a draft as the doctor returned to his bedside, the door swinging shut behind her. "Are you still hallucinating?"
"No, I don't think so. My eyes are sensitive or something."
He wasn't sure how else to describe it. "Tell me if you see anything unusual," she said as she passed a hand mirror in front of his face. Johnny stared back at a man who was crackled and dry. His veins were pronounced and his skin was an arid stretch of desert, pulled taut over a sharp cliff nose and cavernous cheeks. His eyes were greasy ink clouds over a blue sky. On better days, he was a decent-looking man. Some might later call him Trent Reznor-esque. This wasn't one of those days.
"I look like hell,"
he answered with a thick tongue. "But otherwise normal?"
"Yeah."
The doctor began removing his straps. "What's the last thing you remember happening?" He didn't want to say it out loud. The thought of his catalog book living room becoming a nest of spiders spiked his heart like a ball after a touchdown. "It's okay," she assured him. "We don't have to get into it. I was checking your memory. Now, can you tell me what you did leading up to that?"
"I started Benadryl. I've been having bad allergies lately, so I pick some up. But I'm on this brutal diet and exercise regimen, and typically I gotta double the recommended painkiller amount for it to even work.
So I did 3 in the morning, and then..." His doctor sighed and pinched the bridge of her nose, but he continued.
"When I didn't feel any different and was sneezing up a storm, I did 3 more. I, also might have had a couple of beers."
"No wonder you were thirsty," his doctor replied with a parchment voice and passed him a paper cone of water stamped with colorful coffee ring designs. Johnny gulped it down, but his mouth still felt like a mud pit.
"Thanks.
Have you been doing anything that might expose you to allergens?"
"I did a big house cleaning for my wife. She's getting back this week." I also took a jog earlier in the day.
Were you hydrating?
Maybe not as well as I should have.
The doctor smiled skeptically, eyes dropping as she shook her head. Sir, I want you to buy a saline solution and clean out your sinuses, and I want you to take one Benadryl next time. I think you've learned what can happen from a diphenhydramine overdose. I don't know how it happened on so little, but I guess you're lucky. I'll schedule you for a follow-up with your regular doctor. If you're still having problems, they can test you for hay fever. Any questions? Johnny shook his head. Great, then we'll discharge you. Is there anyone you can call to pick you up? Johnny paused and rubbed the meaty part of his trapezius, where his neck met his shoulders. No, there was no one.
Who found me anyway?
Huh?
How'd I end up here?
The doctor looked down at her clipboard, flipping through the pages of his chart. Says your neighbor Vilmer found you. Heard you screaming.
I have a neighbor named Vilmer.
The doctor gestured. How should I know? I only have what the chart tells me. If you can't call Vilmer, I suggest you call someone else, or yellow cab. You're lucid and we need to free up this bed. Johnny nodded a couple of times to himself and swung his legs over the side of the bed. When he tried to stand, his knees bowed and he almost keeled over, but he gripped the bedside and found his strength. The doctor was amused, and now he was close enough to see her name tag, Dr. Albright. Muscle weakness can sometimes linger, especially if dehydration is involved. Take it easy, Mr. Hazard. Half this floor would kill me if something happened to you. Johnny walked out into the hall, rubbing the IV's puncture wound. The hall lights were bright and they buzzed overhead like a lazy fly as he walked through the taupe and espresso halls, past rows of closed doors and empty rooms. Machines beeped and wheels rolled, and an out-of-tune voice paged someone over the intercom. He stopped before a vending machine alcove, cracking open his scarlet and gray bifold. The machine spat him out a cup of scorched coffee, and he cut it with cream and a single sugar, fingers sliding against the cheap paper. All the while, he tried to think of someone to call. His mind felt like a used-up cotton swab, dingy and strung out. He couldn't stop blinking either, for all the good that did him. It didn't make his eyes any less sensitive.
Say, kid, why the long face?
A woman with a smoky voice and a crisp British accent asked, sidling up to him. She was an Asian woman, bird-like and lanky, older too. Johnny didn't know how old, north of 40 probably, maybe even 50. Hard and pretty like polished stone. Her makeup was sharp cat eyes and bruise-colored lipstick. A long necklace of golden coins hung over her loose, black cable-knit sweater and matching slip dress. She was smoking and looked at him like she knew him. That didn't surprise Johnny, though. Lots of people knew him. Probably a Buckeyes fan.
I was born with it, Johnny said, before he took a long sip of coffee and turned her way.
Her grin was shallow, teeth pale yellow, but her smile was contagious.
You're pretty funny for a guy in a hospital.
Meet me out of a hospital. We'll see how you feel.
Perhaps.
The woman slipped the cigarette between her lips and opened her chunky purse, reaching for the small, clip-open wallet inside. She handed him a black business card with a gold circle in the middle and a sideways black eye with a golden pupil at the center. The card read, "Who?" in gold, with 614-328-9390 on the back.
If you're the art-buying kind, give me a ring sometime. My stuff's sort of on the abstract, brutal and surreal end of the spectrum. Perspective changing. Call me when you're in the right frame of mind.
Johnny looked at the golden eye design, which shimmered and shifted as he rotated the card at different angles. He blinked again, rubbed his irritated eyes, and grunted in discomfort. When he looked back up, the woman was down the hall and turned out of his sight. Well, she was an intriguing lady. Maybe a little pretentious when it came to art, but interesting. Johnny couldn't say he liked abstract or extreme pieces. He was more of a landscapes kind of guy. Or those portraits by the great old masters, who produced lifelike imagery instead of random splotches of texture and color like so many abstract artists seem to. But he had to admit a lingering curiosity as he tucked the Who card into his wallet, coffee crooked in his arm. The receptionist at the lobby let him call out to Yellow Cab. He went to the ground floor and waited for his pickup under the walkway. The air outside was brisk and wet. It was mid-October and things had finally cooled off. Recent rain slicked the asphalt, and it was classic gray skies overhead. Had to love Central Ohio. Johnny's cab pulled up as he finished his coffee. He tossed it into the trash can, opened the back door, and slid inside. The driver's rearview mirror was angled away so that Johnny only saw his reflection. The cabbie's solely visible feature was the back of a shaggy head of medium-length hair under a gray beanie cap. Gray fingerless gloves firmly gripped the steering wheel.
"Where to?"
the driver asked with a stopped-up and gravelly voice, blurring the boundary between contralto and tenor, an androgynous and stuffy voice. Johnny pinched the bridge of his nose, blinking away his puffy eyes. He sniffed.
"Torrance." "Close, huh? Lucky you."
They crossed the West North Broadway Bridge over the swift Olentangy River, passed Kroger on their way back, and kept on to East North Broadway, slipping by towers, steepled roofs, and old brick homes. Then it was down to the end of Calumet to follow the lazy, winding road downhill to Torrance. Johnny directed the driver down the street and had them stop in front of his house. Well, Janet's house.
"Cute place,"
the cabbie said. Johnny looked across the way to his three-bedroom, two-bathroom house, shaded by old neighborhood trees. It was an early 1900s construction with a deep porch and a lot of character. Janet's grandparents built it, and she'd poured her soul into revamping the place and giving it that personal touch. Johnny had spent many weekends helping her lay tile and paint the walls. He'd been proud to see how far it had come. Maybe this was how parents felt when their kids crossed the stage at graduation. Maybe he'd find out someday. It came pretty close with his players sometimes.
"What do I owe you?"
$8.15.
Johnny foisted over $9 to an expectant hand.
"Keep the change."
He walked up the asphalt drive, over a short walkway, and onto his porch. He fumbled for his keys. The inside smelled like burnt something, hot metal, and plastic. "Aw, fuck," Johnny broke into a run, suddenly remembering the frozen dinner he'd left in the oven. He threw open the oven door before he could think. His coagulated dinner sat there, scorched plastic tray on a metal sheet. The oven was off. Johnny deflated, glad he hadn't burned down the kitchen. They'd installed the double basin sink last month. It would be a shame to see it destroyed. Though they'd probably gut some other part of it before long. Janet always found something that needed tweaking. Johnny tossed out the frozen dinner and went for a tall glass of water, drinking it as he padded toward the wall-mounted phone beside the fridge. The fridge was from the 1950s and painted candy apple red. Pinned to its face was a mural of magnet-mounted pictures. There they stood under the dappled light of High Bank's canopy, Johnny in his tux, Janet looking gorgeous in her strapless wedding dress. More pictures boasted of their recent vacation to Aruba. In one, Johnny held up a blue, green, and gold mahi-mahi as he stood on the deck of the sailboat. He'd fought for close to an hour to drag the thing in. To its right was a photo of Janet, her long legs looking longer where she struck a pose in a sun hat, bikini, and oversized sunglasses, dancing on her tiptoes in front of an early evening bonfire. He pressed the play button, cueing four new messages, beginning with their recorded greeting.
"Hi, this is Johnny."
"And Janet
of the Hazard House.
We can't come to
the phone right now, but we'll get back to you as soon as possible. They said in unison.
"If this is to request an appointment from Janet, leave your name and number after the beep," said Janet.
"Or if this is about the team,"
said Johnny.
If we know you, do your thing.
Go Bucks! They said in unison. The first message was nothing, or so it seemed. Just silence until there was a soft sound, like short breaths of wind down a broad tunnel. Low, pulsing gusts over a bass tone spread out every few seconds.
"The hell?"
Johnny deleted the message and played the next.
"Hey, Mr. Hazard. This is Bailey. I'm just calling to make sure we're still on for next Sunday. Call me back."
Johnny interrupted Bailey's message by deleting it. He knew Bailey's number. No one spoke in the third message either. There was only barely audible, intermittent squeaks like a squeegee over glass. The first message had been weird, but a second message of nothing? Was something wrong with the answering machine or phone line? They'd have to bring in some expert, maybe someone from Radio Shack. Johnny played the fourth message, another male voice, but this one he didn't recognize. It was husky, expectant, and not much louder than a whisper. It sounded like his face was pressed right against the receiver.
Please, I need to see you soon. I'm aching.
Johnny's blood pressure skyrocketed, his breath high and fluttery in his chest. Was that who he thought it was? Calling and leaving a message like that. Like he wanted Johnny to know about it. It made Johnny hard. A moment elsewhere. He watched himself approach the cab, split between two different angles. One stood near the entrance into the garage, noticing the putrid yellow mark smeared over Johnny's brow and the dull yellow-gray over the brow of the cab driver. He shook his head, committing what he saw to a page in his journal, which he tucked away. Then he was inside a body that wasn't, occupying something that didn't belong here. It watched Johnny walk closer with bated breath, its eyes focused on Johnny's eyes, which had a pinprick of yellow at the heart of the pupil. The man was primed.